I'll be blunt. This is one of those gospel readings when there are just so many different directions to go that it is an absolutely baffling task to write a sermon about it. It doesn't help that this last bit of John's gospel that we heard this morning is frankly just really weird. First off, the story seemed to wrap up at the end of the previous chapter. After the story of poor doubting Thomas that we heard last week, the author draws everything to a close and even explains why he wrote the book. The end. And then it just starts up again. Based on that, there are some who suggest that this part was added by somebody else. Others think it was the same author, but at a later time. There are really only two things we know for sure. One is that we do not have any manuscripts of John lacking chapter 21. So it is at least very, very old. And second, linguistically and stylistically, it is just like the first 20 chapters. So I tend to think it is an epilogue to the story written by the same writer. But it is not a question worth fighting about. Nor is that the weirdest thing about our reading. For example, I would really love to know why Peter was fishing with his friends naked. And what is the deal with 153 fish? I will let you Google that yourselves when you have some time to kill. But I did go down that rabbit hole, and there are just some awesomely crazy suggestions. So you know me, I can't help but give you a few. For example, if you work from the position that the fishermen were actually fishing for people, which would make it very similar to Luke's version of the story, and then you take the phrase children of God in Hebrew, and you add up the numerical position of every letter, you get 153. I think that sounds a little or a lot too contrived to be true. So let's go back a little further in history. Augustine, maybe the most influential of church theologians, recognized it as a triangular number because it is the sum of every integer from 1 to 17. And then, well, 17 represents the law and the Holy Spirit because there were 10 commandments and God rested on the seventh day of creation or something. You can't follow it even in the best English translations. Or here's one from the great church father, Jerome. He claimed that there were 153 known kinds of fish back then. And so this shows that Jesus was Lord over all creation, or at least all fish. And of course, there's no evidence from the ancient literature to actually substantiate that one bit. But we don't like letting facts get in the way of a good story. So I prefer to go with the simple answer. There is no special symbolism. They just caught a lot of fish. So many that somebody decided to count them all. And if that is the case, then what is the point of this whole story? Well, reading it right after Easter, we cannot miss the fact that it is a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to the disciples. That's how it ended up in our lectionary for this week. As a reminder that the resurrection was not some spiritual understanding, but a physical reality. The same Jesus who walked out of the tomb could converse and be touched and even have fish and bread for breakfast. But as important as that is, for me, the focal point of this story is not that great miracle. Instead, it is probably my favorite scene in the whole Bible. It is Peter's redemption story. The other characters seem to just fade away, and Jesus is left in conversation with Simon Peter, the same Simon Peter who said he would lay down his life for Jesus and then denied him three times while Jesus was being interrogated. Jesus starts with something that almost sounds like a test. Do you love me more than they do? It recalls the farewell discourse just a couple chapters earlier, when Jesus told the disciples that if they loved him, they would keep his commandments. And so now Peter is given three chances to repudiate his three denials, and each time is given a new command. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. The fisherman is to become a shepherd, commissioned by no less than the Paschal Lamb himself. It's beautiful. It's perfect. As N.T. Wright puts it, everything is different in the light of Easter. Everything's redeemed. Everyone. So just as Jesus fed Peter, so Peter is now to feed others. Except it is not physical nourishment that is in view any longer, but the very bread of life, the truth of the gospel, the care of the people. In one of his letters, Peter then makes it clear that this obligation is not just his alone, but is shared by all of the believing communities, by us. My friends, this, I think, is the ultimate story of God's grace. Unearned and undeserved forgiveness. But it comes with a command to go and share it with the world, even unto death. Amen.